friends, and welcome to this podcast. Today, we will be interviewing an awesome artist. She's a rapper with an acting background based out of New York City. This is Sam LaRoche. Hello, Sam.
Hey, MJ. How you doing?
It's good to have you here today. So just a little background. Sam went to school for acting, and now she's rapping. That's right?
Yeah, that's 100% correct.
So I have some questions to ask you for our audience. If you think back before you moved to New York City to become a performer, is there anything you wish someone would have told you?
Yeah, I think, I remember in school we had alumni come back who were currently living in New York City. And at the time, I went to Central Connecticut State University. In New Britain, Connecticut. And so they came back and they were kind of like giving us the rundown of what they're doing and how they're pursuing acting. And a lot of them were like, you don't have to work in a restaurant. And I think that's a huge myth for a lot of performers, is that you're going to work in a restaurant and it's going to be flexible. And I didn't really take to heart what they said. I kind of like, I remember it very much, but I didn't really take it to heart. And I think working in a restaurant kind of like killed a lot of my momentum, because when you work in a restaurant, you have to keep up with your money. So it's like you're constantly picking up shifts, and your bosses aren't like super flexible, or people weren't super flexible where I could be like, hey, I have an audition, can you pick up this shift? Or hey, I have a show. And they kind of like intimidate you a lot. Or that was at least my experience in, you know, not wanting to give up shifts because I'm going to lose money or I'm going to lose my job. So I think that's one big thing I could say to people, is like, there's probably, you know, different opportunities for you to have that could better assist you in pursuing acting or whatever performing arts you're in. And I think especially now for people who could work remotely for a company, that's probably, I think, your best bet is to find a company that you could work remotely from. So that way, if you do have an audition or you do get a gig, at least you go, well, I'm going to work while on set because I'll just bring my laptop.
That's awesome advice. Thank you.
Yeah.
So is there anything you would say to someone who dreams of performing in New York City, whether that be spoken word or rap performances or something else?
I think a lot of people come here with that in mind. And I've come across so many different people, and it's all about perseverance. Like, you can't put a time limit on it. You can't say, well, I'm going to give myself 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. And every now and then you'll like watch somebody who's, you know, done well, who's a famous actor. It's like, I was only acting for a year and then I got a big break. Yes, that does happen. But I think for most actors, it's just like kind of a constant pursuit. So you really have to kind of develop a thick skin, and you kind of just got to go after it. And I think another important advice, besides like, you know, having to persevere and not expect the world and then get down when the world doesn't arrive to you, is that you need to make your own opportunities. And that's something I kind of was able to do, especially with spoken word and making music, is that outside of, and you can do this with acting too, it's just I was more inclined to do so with like my own self-performances, is that you can write your own stuff, you can rent out or finagle your way into a small theater, a small venue. And especially now with social media, you could promote it yourself, so you can create your own opportunities. And I think also, yeah, now with social media, you can get in touch with more people. You can invite bloggers or people who do podcasts to come and see your show. And that way they're talking about it, or invite you on their show and get you more exposure. So there's a lot of different avenues. And I think prior, people kind of are relying on just getting an audition and getting in there. But now you just make your own opportunities, especially if you feel like people are not writing for the roles that you're going to fit in. You write your own roles, and you see that so much. I think Insecure, I think it's on HBO. I don't have HBO, but I've seen a few episodes, and the main actress in that wrote and developed it from a YouTube series. And now she's a huge actress, but she took that into her own hands and wrote her own, you know, character into the show. And so I think that's what people have to know, is like, you got to persevere and you got to take matters into your own hand, really.
That's such excellent advice, and not everyone thinks about that, so thank you so much for thinking outside the box.
Yeah, definitely.
So are there any acting tools that you use while you're performing?
I mean, I think when I look back on like my old videos, I kind of cringe, like my old performance videos, because there's so many things I was like doing, like my enunciation, like couldn't even understand me. I was going really fast, but I also wasn't comfortable. And although like school helped a lot, helped build a lot of my confidence, helped give me some direction as to how to perform and different tools. I think at the end of the day, like getting experience is going to really be the deciding factor of who you are as a performer, because you just kind of get used to it, get more comfortable, you figure out who you are on stage and how to talk to the audience. And I, you know, after years of doing it, it just, I'm a lot more comfortable now. Like sometimes I'll just kind of like, I'm not going to say riff, but I'll just kind of like ad-lib some of my poems, because like I know them really well. I feel very comfortable going slow, taking moments to pause. I used to kind of like just run through my work just to like, oh, I want to get it over with, or people are not going to sit here for that long and listen to me. But to engage people, sometimes you have to take those moments. And I think the more confident you are on stage and the more comfortable you feel with your work, the more people are going to gravitate towards you. So I think it's just, yes, definitely have tools, take classes. It's always good to brush up on. I should be doing that more. It's always good to have that skill set behind you as a base. But at the end of the day, going out there and actually performing is really going to make you who you are as a performer.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And so when did you fall in love with performing?
I mean, as long as I can remember, I love to perform. It was just something I feel like I always had in myself. And I think it's also, you know, diving deeper into it, I think it's something, it's my way of connecting to people. I feel very comfortable on stage. I feel comfortable with that fourth wall. I mean, I'm probably more comfortable talking to a group of like 500 strangers and telling them like my deepest, darkest woes, opposed to sitting in a room of like five good friends and like having that same conversation. It's my way of connecting. And I do like to entertain people and I like to make people feel things and I like to tell stories. So it was just something always in me. And I just ended up deciding that it was something I was also going to pursue.
And so what keeps you motivated?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know I really, I mean, you definitely have to stay motivated. You have to be hopeful and you have to be excited, I think, about the work that you're doing. There's got to be purpose behind it. I think a lot of people go into performing sometimes because it seems like glamorous and everyone kind of wants that limelight, and there could be a lot of money to be made and people want attention, and that's all fine and good. And I think those are like kind of fun things that go with it. But I think the motivating factor has to be like a deeper purpose for yourself. It has to be something within you, that drives you. I think about it all the time. Like I always think of performing or what I'm going to write next or the things I want to do, things that I'm inspired by. And I'm going to think about it and want to do it regardless of anything else. So my point is like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do this because this is what I want to do and I love it. And I think that's, you know, a bigger part of the motivation, and I'm happier doing it than I am not, like to the point of where I feel like I know people who stopped acting or stopped pursuing the things, or in general, people who stopped pursuing the things that they really love because of backlash or because it's not working out. But then I think maybe they're not as happy because they gave up on something they just truly love. And I think you got to just truly love something and pursue it just for the love of it. And everything else will fall in place if it needs to or happens to be, but you got to just be happy in what you're doing, regardless of the outcome.
Well, it's true. We give up if we are not seeing the finances come in or if we're not seeing the opportunity come in, but yeah, absolutely. And so what was your most rewarding performance experience since beginning your career?
I mean, there's a couple of things I want to say. When I first started performing spoken word, I used to go to this venue that doesn't exist anymore. And I got really familiar with the venue, with the people there. I've made it Like, so it's like every time, so spoken word, like there's different ways to go about it. A lot of ways people go into it. Poetry, which is competition style. It's 3 minutes on stage. There's three rounds typically. If you go over your 3 minutes, they give you like a 20-second like leeway, and then they like cut you off and you lose points. So it's like people that judge you are supposed to be random people that don't know any of the performers on stage. And when you, if you win, then they put your name into like the semifinals, and there's the finals, and then they group all of the winners together, and either pending on the venue, and they take all those winners and you kind of form a group and you go compete against other venues, state or countrywide, or you go individually and perform your poems and compete. And it's like, it's really awesome. It's like a competition style, but it's also, you know, daunting because people are judging like your most beloved work. It's not like any of this is fiction. So you're going up there and you're pouring your heart out and someone's like, a 7. And so it's a tough avenue to get into, but I did it for a little bit. I made it into, not too far along, but into some competitions. But then I realized like I didn't like writing work for points. And that was just me and my preference. I found myself kind of like sitting down and writing to be judged. That didn't feel very authentic to me. So I just continued to pursue poetry and just perform it and have put up my own shows. And through that, other people would bring me on board with their shows. So I was able to do a lot through that. So I think that is one thing I'm proud of, is that I made my own avenue and I stepped away and, you know, did what I thought was best for my work and my art. And I think just personal growth in all avenues of things that I'm proud of what I've done and like set out to do. Because when you first start doing something, especially with music, because I started music back when I was like 13 or 14, I started rapping. And then I kind of stopped for a while, pursued spoken word poetry. And so a lot of people in New York City didn't know me as a rapper. And so when I started performing and pursuing hip hop again, people had things to say and were very judgmental about it. But as I've gotten better and as my growth, as there's been growth, you know, people change their minds, and then people are listening to your music and people are, you know, texting you and like, I really like this song. So I think growth is like the most rewarding thing, is to see how far you've come and that you've pursued something you loved and you've really like changed it and you've changed other people by it.
Yeah, absolutely. So are there any current projects that you're working on that people should check out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always on my Spotify. I have music that is streaming. It's on Spotify, which is like my main hub to point people to go to, because that's where I mostly listen to music. But you can get my music off Amazon or iTunes or Apple Music or Deezer, I think is one. But you just have to type in Black Sheep Mixtape. That is my name that I go under. It's one word, Black Sheep Mixtape. And you can go to my Spotify, you can go to my Instagram, and I'm, you know, posting as much new music as I can create it during this time. It's going to definitely slow up my recording process, but that's okay, because I think lulls are great for kind of renewing and amping up like a whole new project. So hopefully by fall, I'll have a new project out. But right now I have a new song coming out this Friday called Make You Sad. So if anyone's interested in that, just go to Spotify and type in Black Sheep Mixtape.
Awesome. And I'll put the link in the description if anyone just wants to click on that.
Awesome.
So thank you so much, Sam. It's been such a pleasure connecting with you. And thank you for all this amazing advice that you've given. I hope if there's any listener who's aspiring to be a performer in New York City, whether that's a rapper or someone who does spoken word or even an actor, that this will be very helpful for them. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So for our listeners, stay tuned for our next episode.